Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Jesus came and died for us. Almighty God, we thank you because we really we're not worthy of your Son's death. And yet he came to die that we might live. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for bridging the gap between a holy God and us, sin-filled humanity. Thank you, Jesus. You bridged the gap. You made it possible for us to be called sons and daughters of Most High God. You made it possible for us to be redeemed. Your blood covers sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this season. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for people gathering in churches all over. Please be with those that are sick today. There are a bunch of sick folks. Please watch over them. Please encourage them. Heal them. Strengthen them. Help them to feel the Prince of Peace all over again. Father, we need you in our families, in our churches, in our nation. We need you, Lord. And we know that you won't force us. You lay out the invitation. You bid us come. And so, Father, I know that we need you, and I'm just praying that we would open the doors of our lives and let you come, invite you to come in. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that this Easter season that people would be born again, saved, transformed, filled with the Holy Ghost. And your church, men and women, boys and girls, your church would be salt and light because we have been redeemed. I pray that this Easter season, Father, that hundreds here in our own community would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and be transformed. Father, thank you again for the safety that we enjoy here in Motley and in Pillager and Staples and Leader and Lincoln and the churches all around us. We gather here safely this morning. We pray for the persecuted church. Strengthen your church, O God. Encourage them. Lift them up. And help them always to be a witness for Jesus. We pray for Salik and the churches in Pakistan as he has asked. We lift them up to you, Father, and say, Almighty God, glorify your name. Thank you for all of our missionaries, people that we know around the globe proclaiming the good news. Protect them, Father. Encourage them and help them to go forth making disciples, proclaiming the good news. Thank you for everyone here. Guide us, Father, in our time here that we have left. Guide us. Speak to us. We worship you. We praise you. We love you. But guide us in our hearing. May we hear from you today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I told the other service that, I just want to mention this again to you, that every now and then, I'm not at the pulpit upstairs. I like to be on this level because I don't want to imply I'm on a different level. You know what I'm saying? I like to be on this level. And so every now and then I just need to be on this level. Even though we've got a beautiful pulpit. Ain't it nice? It's kind of pretty, ain't it? I like to be on this level with you because I'm no different. I'm no different than you are. I'm on the same level. And so I'm down here today behind this one, this little guy. I spent some time this week, in the beginning of this week, with our superintendent and other pastors. And I was talking to one of those pastors. This pastor is a pastor in Iowa. He came into the Free Methodist Church about the same time I did. He went through ordination with me the same time I did. He's a second career pastor like I am. He's younger than I am. And he pulled me aside the other day while we were together down in training. And he said, "Jim, I just want to tell you, I'm leaving the pastoral ministry." And I said, "I'm sorry to hear that, Larry. We've been through a few things together. There's not a lot of us in the conference that stick around for 12 years, 13 years. And he said to me, he said, "The reason I'm leaving the pastoral ministry, Jim, is this. And I count this to his maturity and wisdom. He said, "The good people of my town and congregation always refer to their church as Larry's church." He said, "I've decided to step away from the church so that the people can identify with Christ, not Larry." When you have an opportunity to sit in the car and drive home for 6 hours, you think about a lot of things. And I thought about that off and on for 6 hours. And I just want to say to you, people of God, that this is not Jim's church either. I know that you know that. But I hear that terminology every now and then. This church just happens to be governed by the Free Methodist Church USA, but it is blood bought by the Son of God. It's His church. This church is built and founded on the solid rock of Jesus, and it's His church. And I just don't want us to lose sight of that fact. This building, this ministry is not, has not been, and will not be ever Jim's church. I just happen to be the servant. I enjoy being the servant, by the way. I just happen to be the servant. But God gets the glory for what's happened here. This is God's church. And I just want us to be on the same page with that. Now, like I said, when you drive 6 hours home from meetings, you think about a lot of things. And I was thinking about Easter. And I was thinking, and I'm going to ask you to think for a moment. This is what came to my mind. What are your goals for Easter? You say, "Jim, well, that's kind of a silly question." But I want you to think just for a moment. You don't have to answer it out loud, but I want you to think. I can put it another way. What are you planning for Easter? What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about Easter or Resurrection Morning? Some pastors don't even like the word Easter. Resurrection Morning might be a better way to describe that day. And I ask that because as I'm driving home, I'm thinking, we may have plans for big meals, and there's nothing wrong with that. We may have plans, and we may be in a bit of a anxious anxiety because, oh, we got people coming, we got to do this, we got to do that. We may have decided that's a good day to wear a new suit or a new dress or a new whatever. We may have decided that's a good day to just kick back and head right on over to the old sanctuary and let the men feed us somewhere between 8 and 10. We may have these plans to color, get the eggs colored and get them hid and got to satisfy the kids, got to satisfy the grandkids. And there's nothing wrong with any of this. None of this is bad. I like my grandchildren to come around myself. We like to slip in the resurrection eggs and tell them when they open up that egg what the little cross is all about, what the nail is all about. Like a new shirt once in a while myself. Every now and then my beloved says, I need a new suit. Well, I already got three. Well, I don't need another one. And besides that, my suits haven't reached time voting age yet, so why get rid of them? You know what I'm saying? All of these things are okay, but I was thinking on the way home, what are your goals, Jim? And here's what my goal is, that people come to know Christ. I don't mean know about Him. I mean know Him. I mean be born again. I mean be transformed. Like Darrell Waltrip said at the, and I mentioned this before, he said at the National Prayer Breakfast, if God hasn't changed you, get on back to the altar, because He will if you let Him. I mean that kind of born again. I mean that kind of Easter morning. The tomb is empty and we have something to celebrate, and people that don't know it need to know Christ, because eternity is coming. It's coming real fast. I did another funeral yesterday. Yes, this person was a little older, but I've done a lot of them for people younger than I am. And eternity is coming. And if we haven't been born again, we're not going to heaven, brothers and sisters. That's not according to Jim. It's not according to Jim's church or the Free Methodist Church. It's according to Jesus. Unless we're born again, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. There's only one other alternative, and that's called hell. That's my goal for Easter. And every Sunday, really. And Monday through Saturday isn't bad either. But that'll never happen if the whole of the church is not thinking about empty tombs and salvation and people being born again. If we're thinking about all this other stuff, and I've been there too, and I'll be there in a little area. I'll be in the old rabbit theme, I suppose, a little bit, and new shirts theme. But if the whole of the church is thinking about these things and not thinking about people being born again, then people won't be born again. If our goals are things at home, there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's our only goals, people won't come to Christ. People won't come to church because we didn't pray for them and we didn't invite them. And so my goals are that people be born again and transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. But that will never happen if the whole of the church is thinking about something else. I'm going to be polite. I'm going to try to be polite. And I'm only going to say this once. We're not to Easter yet. But I'm only going to say it once. We were talking about the truth last week, weren't we? Those of you that are here, we're talking about the truth. Easter is about victory. It's not about rabbits. I like rabbits. I told the earlier service I like rabbits. I've even eaten a few. And I was told afterwards I'm probably in trouble for that. But Easter ain't about rabbits, brothers and sisters. It's about victory in Christ. Christ has had victory over the grave, victory over the enemy, victory over sin, victory over death. Resurrection morning is about victory, and the church needs to recognize the truth of Easter morning and recognize how important it is that other people know the truth, because the truth will set them free too. And if we're not praying about Easter morning, then people will not be changed. No, God doesn't need us to do His work, but He has invited us to be His hands and feet. He has invited us to pray for our neighbors. He has invited us to make disciples. He invited us to tell the people the good news. He said, Paul said, after all, how are they going to know unless they've heard? How are people going to know if the church are thinking about other things on resurrection morning? The superintendent asked each of us last Monday morning about Easter morning. I don't remember the question exactly. It was something about resurrection morning. And I simply said, resurrection, I'm praying that on resurrection morning, the least likely of our community will come to Jesus Christ as Lord. The least likely. The person that we've given up praying for. The person that we don't even want to pray for. You know how bad they are, Jim? We don't even want to pray for. My prayer is that the least of these would come to know Christ on Easter morning. Or today, for that matter. Resurrection morning is important to me, and I know it's important to you. It's one of those few days. It's one of 2 days in some people's lives that they might venture off to church. You know what I'm talking about? Don't you? It's one of 2 days where perchance maybe we'll get up this day. Well, it's Easter. I suppose we could do that. It's one of 2 days perchance where people in our community will venture off to church. And I would just suggest that these events need to be prayed for. Bathed in prayer. Our city, our community, our families, our co-workers, our neighbors. I would just suggest that these events need to be bathed in prayer by the people of God. And give God one more opportunity, if you will, to turn it up on our neighbors. In their thinking, in their hearts, and maybe they'll come to church and more importantly, come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus said in John 10, if you're not turned there, go ahead and turn to John chapter 10. Last week we saw Jesus said, I have come into this world to bear witness to the truth. To testify to the truth. Today we're going to see one of those truths. He also said in John chapter 10, I have come that they might have life. That they might have life. And so in John chapter 10, Jesus begins to talk about the good shepherd. And in the first few verses, he's talking about sheep going into the sheepfold. He's talking about the door, or some of your Bibles will say the gate, into the sheepfold. And he's talking about the sheep following the real shepherd and not some stranger. And so he's laying all this stuff out to them. Some of them get it. Some of them do not. The Bible says that some of them didn't understand. And so in verse 6 we pick it up. Jesus said, used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the gate, some of your translations say. All who ever came before me, he said, are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Again, in 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief, he adds, does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life. That's why he came. He came to testify of the truth. We saw that. He says here clearly, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The sheep needed a way to life. He talks about the door getting into the sheepfold. He talks about that. That's, and we know that. You make a pen out in the wilderness. You bring the sheep in at night to keep the coyotes and the bears and stuff and the bandits off them. They got to be safe. They get in there not by pitching them over the edge. They come in through the door. So he gives us that analogy. If we're ever going to be part of the kingdom of God, we've got to come in through the door, and he's the door. And then he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And here's one of those truths that he talked about when he said, I come to bear witness of the truth. Here's one of those truths. Jesus, brothers and sisters, I know this isn't new to you, but it's one of those profound truths that we argue away today, we rationalize away today, we get mad about today, we get argumentative about today, but the truth he's stating is he's the only door to eternity with God the Father. He's the only way. Now I know that we can think, well, Jim, I got life. Matter of fact, I believe in God. Jesus is clear here when he says there's no other way to have the kind of life that he's talking about without him. Church membership doesn't do it. Church attendance doesn't do it, although I think those are good. Baptism doesn't do it. Communion doesn't do it. Those are good, but they're not the abundant life he's talking about. He said, I have come that they might have life. He said, I am the door to that life. I'm the way to that life. I am the only way to that life. And friends, to be part of the kingdom of God, unless and until we go through the door, that's faith in Christ, we are missing out on the abundant life. So why am I so intent on praying for Easter morning? Because life without Christ is just life. We come to the end, we die. And some people think that's all there is. But then is when the abundant life really starts, if we've known Him. Life without Christ today, friends, is meaningless. And I know we can argue, yeah, but there's some rich people, preacher. There's some rich people. There's some pretty content people. And they don't seem to know anything about God or don't pay any attention to Him. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The only way we're going to have the abundant life that Jesus is talking about is through Him. There's no way we can have enough money to live the abundant life. There's no way we can have enough things to live the abundant life. The only way we can have abundant life is through Jesus. Life with Christ is the abundant life, period. Let me just say, in bringing this all together, in wrapping it up, Jesus mentions to us in this passage that there is an enemy. Did you see that? He called him the thief. He's talking about the devil. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus reminded us of that. We have an enemy. And the thief does not want people to know about the truth of the door and the truth to life. The thief doesn't want people to know that. The thief is okay with people sitting in church on Sunday mornings and not knowing about the door and the abundant life in Jesus. You know what I'm saying? The thief is okay with people being caught up in our traditions and whatnot on Easter or any other morning and not knowing about the door and the abundant life in Christ. The thief is okay with that. The thief wants to kill people before they find the door. Yes, that's a reality. Jesus said he came to kill, steal and destroy. The thief wants to keep people in the dark so they can't find the door. In the darkness of complacency. Well, Jim, what do you mean? I'm a member of the church. Matter of fact, I'm a deacon of the church. The thief wants to keep us in the dark without finding the door that is Christ and the abundant life. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life. And the thief doesn't want us to know about that life. The thief wants to and tries to and does destroy marriages and churches and our health sometimes and our relationships and sometimes entire nations. That's what he's about. The thief does all that he can to keep people preoccupied to know or care that there even is a door. The thief wants us to be dwelling on the bad things in life and the difficulties in life and to be angry at God and maybe even blaming God. And when we fall into that trap, we've fallen into the very trap the thief wants us to be in because we're too angry at blaming God to find or care about or know there is a door to the abundant life. I know there's people like that right today in this community, too angry, maybe in this church, certainly in some other churches perhaps today, too angry at God to care there's a door. That's exactly what the thief wants of us, to be too angry at God to know or care there is a door to the abundant life, and His name is Jesus. But in spite of all the thief's attempts, in spite of all the thief's lies and trickery, there is still abundant life available to each and every one of us in Jesus Christ. He said, I have come to that they might have life and have it to the full. There is still abundant life in Christ when we find the door and we enter through the door. We put our faith in Christ and we walk with Jesus. There is abundant life in spite of all the enemy's attempts to derail us or take our joy away or get us off track or so angry at God. There is abundant life in Christ. And so, let me just say this and I'll quit. He didn't come so we could waste life. You know what I'm saying? He didn't come so we could throw it away. He didn't come so we could say, Yeah, but preacher, I believe in God and living like the world. He didn't come for that. He come that we might have the abundant life in Christ. And the abundant life that He's talking about is people that follow Jesus, follow hard after the Master. We live lives in being born again with the Holy Spirit to help us, of holiness and righteousness and filled with the Spirit of God. That's the abundant life He's coming. He told us He came for. He did not come so we could throw that all away or squander it or keep putting Him back on the cross with our sin. He came that we might have the abundant life, and that's what He wants for you and me. And so, the only way to have that is to surrender completely to Jesus Christ as Lord. It's the only way. Now, we can say we've surrendered. We can say we've even been to the altar. We can say we've said a prayer or two of confession. But if we're still walking in the world, we're not living in the abundant life that He talked about. And so, friends, I just want you to know that Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. And He said, I came that they might have life. Life to the full. The only way we're going to have it is in Him. Surrendered completely to Jesus the Christ. It's the only way we're going to have it. The world will not provide to you, it can't even offer to you abundant life like Jesus does. Oh, it's got temptation, it's got traps, the adversary will see to it that there's all kinds of that, but it will never provide to you the abundant life that Jesus offers. Only Jesus will. And so, I pray that if you're not sure of that abundant life today, you'll walk through the door by faith and know Jesus Christ as Lord. Come on, let's get ready to sing. And I pray that if you have put your faith unreservedly in Jesus the Christ, then we will allow the Spirit of God to move in us and fashion us and form us and enjoy that abundant life that He's talking about. That abundant life isn't living in the world. It's transformed. Our minds renewed and transformed. The old Jim is just that. The old Jim in the rearview mirror someplace. The old Jim wasn't in the abundant life. But when you come to know Jesus, He wants you to have the abundant life. Not going to force you. But He's going to offer it to you if you'll receive it. And so wherever you're at today, friends, know that He offers the abundant life, and He's the only way to eternal life. And so while we're singing this song today, you know the song. If you're not sure you've walked into the door, into the abundant life that He's talking about, then do it today. You can come forward and pray and kneel at the altar. Richard is here. Pastor Les is here. They'll be glad to pray with you to receive Christ as Lord, to walk through the door and enter into the abundant life. And if you're here today and you say, "Yeah, but Jim, I believe in God and I think I'm good to go," you'll never know the abundant life until you've been born again and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You'll never know it until you have been genuinely born of the Spirit. And then the Spirit takes over and guides us and directs us and helps us be the men and women of God that He's talking about when He talks about abundant life. So let's stand together and sing this song. If you want to pray at the altar, you do that. You want Les or Richard to pray with you? You do that. But make sure you're right with the Lord today. Let's bow our heads for closing prayer. Friends, and with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask you again, are you experiencing the abundant life that Jesus talked about because you have surrendered completely to Him? If not, would you do it today? Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. And people of God, will you commit to pray for our neighbors and loved ones and co-workers that during this Lenten season, that people are set free, born again, transformed? Will you pray that for our own communities? Father, we praise You. We praise You, Lord, because You loved us too much to leave us flounder in our sin. You sent Your Son, Your one and only, to die on the cross for us. And we praise You for that, and we thank You for that today. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You went all the way through to the cross and to the grave. For us, we thank You for that. But Heavenly Father, help us not to miss out on the abundant life in Christ because we're too preoccupied with things. Help us not to miss out on the abundant life in Christ because of something else, like, well, I've the argument that I've been baptized or whatever else. Help us not to miss out on the abundant life, O God, that Jesus so willingly offers and has provided. Help us to walk through the door into the fold of God by putting our faith completely in the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, even Jesus. And so, Father, as we go from this place, may we be sure that if today was our last day, we would be bound for glory because we have the Son of God living in us and leading us in everything we do. May we go from this place filled with the Holy Ghost, with a passion to pray for our friends and neighbors and co-workers and even family that may not know Christ as Lord. Help us to have a passion to pray for our community, our nation, our president, our leaders, that people that may not know Christ as Lord would get to that point of knowing Him, surrendering to Him, and saying, "Yes, I'm going to follow Jesus." Guide us, O God, in the church, this church and the church, to be salt and light for You. And so dismiss us, Father, with Your hand of leading. Dismiss us with Your hand of blessing upon each and every one here. But Father, if we're not right with You completely, completely right with You through faith in Your Son, surrendered and following Jesus, then I pray, Heavenly Father, that we go here with a burden to get right with Jesus. The cost is too great to go through life and wonder if I've been good enough. It's not about being good enough. It's about being born again. The cost is too great to listen to the thief who wants us never find the door. And so help us to find the door of life that is in Jesus Christ if we've never found it. Today, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.